Hey everyone, this is Hurricane Hal, host of the GeoTrek podcast, where we explore the world to bring you stories about extreme weather and natural disasters not covered by the mainstream media. Can you believe here we are at the end of the year 2025? Where did the year go? We're going to look back at 2025 and actually cover the top 10 memories of the year in GeoTrek. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about some things you can do. You can like, subscribe, or follow the GeoTrek podcast so you make sure you don't miss any of our latest content. We're exploring the world, bringing you these amazing stories of resiliency from storm survivors, from professionals in the field of disaster resiliency. You don't want to miss any of this. Like, subscribe, and follow our content to make sure that you're in the know. Without further introduction, let's jump into the top 10 list, the top 10 memories in GeoTrek for the year 2025. Our number 10 memory of 2025 is the Allied Trust Litigation Summit in Mobile, Alabama. They held it in April of 2025. These were leaders in insurance and leaders in the law field coming together to talk about the importance of understanding what we call forensic meteorology, where we take weather to look back at what happened. And really, as a professional group, we were looking at and addressing the increased nature of fraud in insurance claims and really what we can do to address that and attack that as a group. Allied Trust took tremendous leadership with this. We did actually GeoTrek podcast number 111 with Amy Fail and Ron Leglocky. We recorded that at the conference. They've been doing a lot of taking a lot of leadership to get out ahead of this, to bring us together as professionals to say, how can we attack insurance fraud? How can we understand it and deal with it? For me, I love this memory because I was with all these very smart people, experts in law, experts in insurance. I just shut up and listened, honestly, for a lot of it. I learned a lot about litigation and a lot about insurance. That's why it's memory number 10 for me for 2025. It was something that we all learned a lot and got a lot out of this experience. Memory number 9 was a massive lake effect snowstorm in November of 2024. It's a long story, but I actually run a GeoTrek year from early November to early November, so I count it in the top 10 memories for 2025. This was coming on the tail end of Thanksgiving weekend, and you could see in these video clips, it was just complete whiteout. I was south of Buffalo, tremendous lake snows coming off Lake Ontario, and we parked there. You know, I was with my wife and my stepkids, and it was really fun actually introducing my wife to this much snow. She never saw this much snow before. We got 22 inches of snow. It was coming down like crazy. Well, it was funny. We found a truck stop where we just kind of pulled over because it was so snowy. And here comes this tractor trailer into the truck stop, and it actually did not make the turn. It crashed into a snowbank, and we didn't really know what to do. So I actually went out there, and you're watching video coverage of this tractor trailer. It actually scraped the edge of the infrastructure there in the building, and then it crashed into a snowbank. I got out there. You can see on the video clip, it's a grainy video, but that's actually me helping dig this tractor trailer out of the snowbank. And I quickly realized that the driver, who was from a warm Asian country, I think had very little experience in snow, if they had ever seen snow in their life before. They just had no real experience in snow before. This shocked me. I would have assumed a tractor trailer driver would have had to have a lot of experience and training in snow. I learned out there in this snowstorm, that's not the case. This sparked some questions for me, and it really inspired GeoTrek podcast number 108, where we talked about transportation and logistics dealing with extreme weather, especially in the wintertime. So you can check out that podcast. But again, digging this tractor trailer out of the snow and interacting with a driver that had almost no winter weather experience, it was a surprising experience for me, and it inspired GeoTrek podcast number 108. It's a number 9 memory for the past year on GeoTrek. GeoTrek memory number 8 of 2025 was going to the Guadalupe River in the Texas Hill Country about 2 weeks after the catastrophic flood last year. I mean, it was a terrible flood. We had a high death count. Unfortunately, even campers that were children were lost. It was a terribly catastrophic event. I was not there when the event unfolded, but I went out to the Hill Country around 2 weeks later. I was shocked by how calm and tranquil the Guadalupe River was. I mean, just sitting by the river, and you're going to see in these photographs, it was very calm. It was very tranquil. It was completely peaceful. You would never have known that a major catastrophe just happened unless you look in these photos and you can see a lot of debris very high along these trees. And as you're looking through these debris pictures, check this out. I actually have a picture here of a large piece of machinery there that was used to move debris. But you can see in this photograph, the picture of a man who's standing next to the debris. And by gauging that, you can see that the debris on these trees gets up to as high as 30 feet. Can you imagine that much water racing down these rivers? This is what happened 4th of July weekend last year in the Texas Hill Country. I was shocked to see how calm it was, though, about 2 weeks afterwards. You can still see the debris. You can see the evidence that something really terribly catastrophic happened. But when I was there, it was very peaceful. It was a very somber, it was actually a very heavy moment, realizing that, you know, how many deaths there were and how much destruction. It was really hard to piece it all together. It does go down for me as memory number 8 for 2025, but it was somber and it was something that obviously is very difficult for us all to process. GeoTrek memory 7 from 2025 actually is related to number 8. So for number 8, we talked about the Texas Hill Country flooding. Well, when that actually went down, I was on a family vacation in Colorado. Colorado, as you can see in these videos, there's a lot of steep topography, a lot of mountains, a lot of canyons. Colorado has its own history with terrible flooding along rivers and in canyons. And it was interesting just spending time out in Colorado in a family vacation, getting out into the mountains with my stepkids and my wife. We had a great time. But again, we had just been hearing about what happened in the Texas Hill Country, so it was fresh in our mind. This was interesting. As I actually drove through a mountainous area near a river, there was this evacuation sign that said climb to safety, basically. And, you know, this was an interesting sign, and it stands out to me as memory number 7 for the past year, because unfortunately, when flash flooding hits mountainous areas, a lot of people die in cars. A lot of people are trying to outrun the water by driving out of harm's way. And as you know, we talked about in our Hill Country podcast last year, just driving across a small amount of flowing water can sweep your car away. It can be very dangerous to try to outrun a flood in a vehicle. And so what I loved about this sign I came across in Colorado, it talks about climbing to safety and climbing out of a disaster zone, not driving out of it. And you know, it's an important point. And I thought this was well taken. I was glad to hear in Colorado, they're aware of the danger of driving through floodwater. And a reminder, if you're near flash flooding in an area with topography, climbing out can be more important than driving out. And lastly, I wanted to share, I was in Chipiona, Spain several years ago. It's the only tsunami-ready city in the country of Spain. I talked to local authorities who said they can evacuate 100,000 people in an hour. I said, there's no way. Where I live, back in Galveston, Texas, we have about 50,000 people, but during tourist season, it can get up to 100,000. We need 48 hours to evacuate Galveston. I said, there's no way you can do it in an hour. They said, we can. We've modeled it. It's not through cars. It's through pedestrian evacuation, getting up into buildings, getting up in the hills. They have hills there in Spain. They can do it, but they're doing it on foot. So again, all this ties together. But number 7 for me, I was really encouraged to see this sign in Colorado telling people to climb to safety, not driving to safety if there's floodwaters over the road. So memory number 6 of 2025 is actually chilling out in the open country of Texas, watching beautiful lightning displays after a couple weeks of hail chasing. Let's talk about this hail chasing. I rented this vehicle and wanted to go out and document hail over a period of several weeks. Now, a lot of people were saying, you can't do that. You're going to destroy this vehicle. You're going to get in a lot of trouble. But my wife and I actually developed this system to cover a vehicle. And we worked this out, that we would cover vehicles. Well, getting out there, and I drove over 6,000 miles in Texas, I found shelter like everywhere I went. There was tons of shelter. So I actually did not need this hail protection system on my vehicle. I found a ton of hail. And the purpose of this trip was to find a lot of hail, to measure it, but to also video it and to show really everything we can learn about hail. Especially, we wanted to calibrate radars. Hail has a lot of radars where we're trying to use that to understand how big the hail was. And so just getting out there, I was able to actually video a lot of hail hitting the ground, video what time it started, what angle it was coming from. We were also able to do a slow-mo video of hail hitting a roof. You can see what it looks like as it's actually hitting the shingles of a roof out there in the Texas Panhandle. So just really cool stuff. Wasn't looking for tornadoes, wasn't looking for funnel clouds, but boy, they're out there right in the neighborhood when you're measuring hail. And what we were doing was we were trying to calibrate the radars that we had to understand how accurate it is. You always get a great lightning show when you're out there on the plains, especially in the evening after a hail chase. Saw a tremendous amount of lightning. And I just really remember that evening just watching this thunderstorm with so much lightning after doing successful hail field work. It was a great moment, and it stands out to me as a number six memory from 2025. So GeoTrek memory number five from 2025 was sitting down with Jim Cantore at Josh Borgerman's Hurricane Kickoff event and hearing Jim Cantore's survival story from Hurricane Katrina. A lot of you know Josh Borgerman, good friend of ours. He's been on the podcast. He is passionate about hurricane chasing. He actually built a hurricane house in coastal Mississippi. This has all the charm of southern Mississippi, but it's built to fortified gold. He said it could take a hit from a Cat 5 hurricane. It's an amazing house, and he's hosted a Hurricane Kickoff event the last several years during the first weekend in June. Well, it's always great to get there and meet other professionals, other people passionate about weather and climate and hurricane preparedness. And so we were there at the event this last year. I actually got to hang out with Jim Cantore, one of the most well-known meteorologists. He's been with the Weather Channel for a long time. The last 2 years, got to hang out with Jim. That's my wife and Jim and I. And these are the folks from Smart Home America and the Fortified Program, IBHS. We're hanging out with Jim in Josh's kitchen this last year. Well, we all went out to dinner afterwards, and there's Jim Cantore taking a selfie. You can kind of see me in the back. But for about 20 or 30 minutes, I got to sit across from Jim. He shared his survival story from Hurricane Katrina back in 2005. I mean, I was sitting on the edge of my seat. If you know Jim Cantore, he's a dynamic storyteller. He's been in every kind of extreme weather. And this actually inspired GeoTrek podcast number 117, where we brought Jim on the GeoTrek podcast to share this story with our audience as we went back and remembered the 20th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. Obviously devastating in New Orleans, but a lot of people forget the highest storm surge on record in the Western Hemisphere was right there in coastal Mississippi. You can listen to Jim's account of this story on GeoTrek podcast number 117. Hearing it for the first time at a dinner in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi this last June, for me, it was a number five memory of 2025. Well, here we are at memory number four for the past year on the GeoTrek podcast. For me, it was when Dan Kruger and his team with Climate Central's Flood Vision actually came to my town of Galveston, Texas. They're driving streets. They were interacting with us. What they're doing is they're actually driving streets of flood-prone communities to use their technology to capture imagery that they can animate and actually show you what a flood would look like if it hit your community. So it was really cool. They did a community outreach event. We had a very interactive time, and it was just so cool that they came to my community and I got to meet them in person. This really inspired GeoTrek podcast number 121 when Dan Kruger came on the podcast to share how flood vision works. But you can see here, I have these imagery that I popped up of Sea Isle City, New Jersey, and you can see what their flood vision technology looks like, as you could picture what a flood of different elevations would look like in your community if it were to flood. I have imagery here of Sea Isle City, New Jersey, and also Galveston, Texas. Another cool thing about Climate Central's Flood Vision, when they interacted with me, they actually asked me to choose some landmarks in my city that I would want to see their technology work on. And so that was really cool. I chose this location that I was very familiar with in downtown Galveston. And I know a lot of local people in the community, if you said, wow, this is what it would look like if you had a 6-foot storm surge, for example, they'd say, oh my gosh, I don't want to be there. I want to evacuate. And so really cool technology that they're using, and they're very interactive. If you want Climate Central's Flood Vision to come to your community, reach out to them. They would love to talk to you, and they may actually work with you to choose some landmarks in your community that they would actually put into their software to visualize what would happen and what it would look like if it actually flooded. For me, this interactive experience with new technology that's going to help people prepare for flooding, this was like mind-blowing to me. That's why it's memory number four for me for the GeoTrek podcast in the past year. You can check out GeoTrek podcast number 121, where Dan Kruger explains this in more detail. You're going to love this technology if you're in a flood-prone area. Well, here we are in the top three memories of GeoTrek in 2025. Memories number two and three relate to my trip to Greece to document the hyperactive earthquake activity they were having last February. I had never been to Greece before. I really wanted to check out how do these people deal with so many earthquakes. It was a beautiful area to be in. The first night I was there, I actually felt an earthquake while I was sitting on a park bench. I'd never felt an earthquake like that before. I was like, wow, here we are. And then things got really quiet. Here's my reflections of what it was like to experience that first earthquake and then have this long period of quiet. I recorded this when I was in Greece. Really, one of my memories spending time in Greece was meeting a shop owner named Angelos. And so I went into his shop. We had a first earthquake when I was there, and then it got really quiet for around 2 days. So I thought, oh, this is great. The danger has passed. I went into Angelos's shop. His reaction as a local was very different than mine. This period of quiet really spooked him. And he said that very day, he took all of his fragile items off his shelves. And this can happen sometimes if you have a pause in earthquake activity, the pressure and the tension in the earth crust can build up. It can actually cause a stronger earthquake. He as a local knew that, and this kind of spooked him. For me, I interpret it very different. So that was very interesting. And here are my reflections looking back at that as I reflected back on having a very different interpretation of the earthquake sequence than a local. One other really interesting thing is Angelo sold me this book that went into the geologic history of Greece, and it talked about there's something called tephra, which is basically kind of an ash-like substance that fell when they had a massive earthquake and volcanic eruption several thousand years ago. This book said that dozens of meters of this tephra ash fell over a couple days. Could you imagine maybe 60, 70 feet of ash falling in several days with huge rocks in it? I didn't even realize until I read this book, I was not interpreting the landscape. And so this is what it looked like. I mean, I was just like blown away that this is what I was seeing. And so what I learned is there's a lot of geologic evidence in Greece that they've had a very violent history. These photos that you can see right here in these video clips, this is all ash that fell within a couple days. And as I drove around the island, and actually saw these massive ash cliffs. And this all was laid down during their most recent volcanic eruption. It just showed me they have a long and a violent history with earthquakes and volcanoes. I was new to it and had a lot to learn on this trip last February. Memory number two for 2025 with GeoTrek is also from this trip to Greece, just trying to understand the economic impact and the social impact of having so many earthquakes. What surprised me going to Greece, and you can see in these video clips, I was the only one there so many times. I was in these places that have tremendous amount of tourism. I talked to friends and family back in the States who had been to Santorini, and they said they loved it, but it's just so crowded. Look at these videos I'm showing you. I was the only person there. The tourists were not coming because of the earthquakes, and about two-thirds of the locals evacuated. So, I mean, I was often the only person there. I had trouble the first night finding a hotel. Everything was closed. Talking to friends and family in the States, they're like, this is a very different experience than they had had. Well, it's interesting. I love Mediterranean food. And so, of course, I had to find shawarma and all the good Greek salads that I could find. And so I did find a restaurant that was open, and I had this amazing Greek salad. I actually went there every day of my trip. You can see what it looks like. It was amazing eating there. But memory number two for me was interacting with the locals at this place. And they just were so funny. They had the classic Greek sense of humor. But getting to know them, I asked the question, you know, what do you think about the earthquakes? Have the earthquakes passed? And we had this really interesting and funny interaction. I met this guy, Kosa, who you can see here in the yellow jacket. And, you know, he didn't speak English as well as his friend. And his friend came over, and his friend said, Kosa, you need to tell them, okay? The earthquakes have stopped. The tourists should come back. You need to tell them that. Kosa said, I don't feel comfortable doing it. His friend said, I'm going to make you a sign, basically a cue card that you read the script and you just tell people the earthquakes have passed. The tourists need to come back. And so his friend's over there. And again, we're eating shawarma. We're eating Greek salad. We're having a great time. But his friend actually wrote out a sign for him to read on camera. The funny moment for me was when we got to him trying to read the sign. And, you know, the bottom line is he just couldn't do it because everyone knows there, like no one really knows if the earthquakes have passed or not. They work in tourism. Their restaurant depends on having customers. So obviously they want the people to return, but then they struggled with, can you really tell people the earthquakes have passed? Everyone I talked to there that was seasoned, that had been through a lifetime of earthquakes, said no one really knows when the next one's coming. And so, you know, it really wrapped up to me the economic impact of having earthquakes shut down your tourism and how that hurts your business. And obviously, these people want the tourists to come back. They want the earthquakes to end. But at the end of the day, they couldn't really say on camera that the earthquakes had passed either. But they did all this with classic Greek humor, and we had a great time together. Here's my reflections from Greece, where I just take a short clip to share my thoughts of this when I was on the ground right after hanging out and interacting with Kosa and his friends. Well, here we are at the number one GeoTrek memory of 2025. I think Jeremiah can find a drum roll for us. Jeremiah Long, our senior video producer in the background, he makes all the magic happen. I think he's going to bring a drum roll into this because we're at the number one memory for 2025. And it comes, if you can believe it, on my honeymoon. Now, like, wait, stop. You're saying no, Hurricane Hal. You're on a honeymoon and you did GeoTrek work? Let me back up. Here are some pictures of my amazing wedding with Alicia on August 15th. We were married here in Galveston. We had a beautiful wedding. And I wanted to actually bring Alicia on cam to help bail me out here that this was not a work honeymoon. Alicia, why don't you join me here on camera? Please try to bail me out. Tell the people that Hurricane Hal did not take his lovely bride on a work honeymoon.
No, it was not a work honeymoon. We went to Mexico and it was absolutely beautiful. And I actually chose the art history museum that we were visiting when this happened.
So we're going to explain what happened here and why this is a number one memory of the year. But let me explain. We went to the northern Yucatan Peninsula. You can see here the beautiful water. We were in Holbox Beach in the state of Quintana Roo. It was amazing watching the sunset. We enjoyed beautiful scenery, the crystal clear water. And of course, we had a lot of great food. Here's us. Alicia just seeing this. She didn't know what pictures I'm going to pull up. No. We had those crepes, remember, in Holbox Beach. Yeah. It was amazing. We had a lot of great food. We even had we were just having a good time, just hanging out in the Yucatan Peninsula, really having a good time together. And you could see we had this beautiful meal here by the water. So it was romantic. It was a great honeymoon. We were not going to actually talk or engage at all about disasters. We were just going to enjoy the vibe of the Yucatan Peninsula. But we ended up, this is us hanging out on the beach. We ended up driving over from Quintana Roo, which is the state where Cancun and the Eastern Yucatan Peninsula. We drove all the way over to Merida in a different state called Yucatan. And on the drive, we were just taking it in and exploring the scenery, and just it's very exotic, very lush. And we were just really enjoying the adventure. I ended up turning to Alicia and saying, you know, I don't want to bring work into this, but I wonder what is their deadliest disaster down here. And as we were talking about it, I thought it has to be some mega flood event, like maybe something like a Hurricane Harvey, that Merida is inland slightly. I thought there has to be some hurricane that just parked over them for days and dumped tons and tons and tons of rain. I thought for sure in the Yucatan Peninsula, it has to be a hurricane rainfall flood if you're away from the coast. So we ended up hanging out and investigating, checking out all the culture and the history, a lot of Mayan history down there. These are at some of the ruins that we were visiting. We had a great time. We learned a lot about the history, a lot about the geography, just had a great honeymoon. So Alicia climbing up the stairs of one of the ruins. It's amazing amount of history and geography down there. But when we were there, we actually ended up stumbling across a Mayan cultural performance. And we also ended up over at what they call the government palace. I'm going to forward over to this. You can see what the government palace looks like. They have a massive art gallery and art museum. This is in Merida, Mexico, really the capital of the state of Yucatan. This is what Merida looks like. It's a beautiful city, very historic. It's been there really before the Spanish colonial times. And then, you know, with the Spanish colonial times starting in the 1500s, the 1600s, a lot of history there. This is what the government palace looks like. And inside they have this massive art museum. So Alicia loves art. She's kind of gotten me more into it over time. And it was your idea to go to this art museum.
Yes.
And we just wanted to check out the art, check out the local vibe and the culture. And it was a beautiful art museum. Can you believe while we're just checking out the Government Palace Art Museum on our honeymoon, we come across this painting. And it just shows these people very gaunt, very emaciated. And we were like, what is this about? And there's actually a plaque that goes with it. It says sequía, peste y hambre. And basically it's drought, pestilence, or a plague, and hunger. And we're in the pueblo, in the city. We're trying to wonder what this is about. And there's actually a sign that goes along with it. But it explains that over hundreds of years, there were 16 different famines that were fueled either by droughts or crop failures. So it wasn't flooding that was their deadliest disaster. It was drought. If you think about it, I could not have been more wrong. We were checking this out, you know, and just taking in all the culture and the history. But we realized at that moment, wow, wouldn't it be interesting to travel around the world and to explore and to figure out, you know, what are the deadliest disasters in these different places? How have it impacted locals, and what are people doing to mitigate it against today? So here we were in the art museum on our honeymoon, and we found out that if you really explore and you dig down deeply, you can learn a lot about a place's disaster history. It wasn't something we were trying to do, but we stumbled across it. That was a pretty cool art gallery, wasn't it?
And the painting was just striking, the way that it was done. You really felt the emotion of starvation in the faces of the people in that painting. It was quite striking and moving to, you feel like you're witnessing a piece of that disaster.
Yeah. It was very well done. And, you know, that art gallery had all those murals, and they were really things that were high human impact, right? Slavery, drought, death, a lot of things that really would impact society. And it was heavy, but really well done.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, this for us, for me at least, was the number one GeoTrek memory of 2025, just because it taught us so much about disasters when you dig in and explore a culture. And because of that, you know, coming back, I talked to Jeremiah and Seneth with our GeoTrek team, and we talked about actually launching a documentary series called Extreme Explorations that's going to actually explore the world, go to different regions to uncover what are the deadliest disasters in different regions of the world, how have they impacted society, and what are locals doing to mitigate against that happening again. We don't know exactly the date that this is going to launch, but we think in 2026, you'll be hearing more about Extreme Explorations. It's inspired by this adventure on our honeymoon, of all things. But I wanted to bring Alicia on camera to clear the air, and to clear my record that I was not forcing my beautiful bride to go on a work honeymoon. We just are adventurous people. We ended up swimming in limestone caverns, going to ruins. And in our adventures, we stumbled across the deadliest disaster in the history of the state of Yucatan. I thought it was a flood. Couldn't have been more wrong. It was a series of droughts and crop failures. Fascinating when you explore the world, how much you can learn and how much it surprises you, even if you're a professional in the field. Well, that wraps up 2025. We cannot thank you enough for your support, your engagement. Your support of the GeoTrek podcast consistently ranks us as one of the top podcasts on the topic of natural disasters. So we thank you so much for your encouragement, your involvement, your engagement. Continue to share this content with your friends and family, and continue to interact with us. If there are topics you want us to cover in 2026, please let us know. Huge thank you as well to Jeremiah Long, the senior video producer. He makes all the magic happen. A lot of times I'm just stumbling through this. He makes me look good, but he keeps things flowing, keeps it professional and high energy. Jeremiah, thank you so much for your involvement on the podcast. Seneth Baker as well, the president of Blue Leopard Agency. They're doing a lot of the marketing and promotion and just really a lot of the work to get the podcast out to you and to a growing audience. And of course, our team at CNC Catastrophe and National Claims, they power GeoTrek, the GeoTrek podcast. They've been helping families pick up their lives and get their lives together after disasters for more than 30 years. They're a family-run business. If you're ever interested in insurance adjusting or anything in the insurance or the adjusting landscape, check out CNC Catastrophe and National Claims. They're at adjustingexpectations.com. I'm the host of the GeoTrek podcast, Hurricane Hal. 2025 had a lot of surprises and a lot of adventures that we talked about today. 2026 is going to be even better as we explore the world with you to tell stories about extreme weather and natural disasters not covered by the mainstream media. I hope everyone has a fantastic new year. We're going to continue exploring in 2026. I'm your host, Hurricane Hal, signing off. Thanks, everybody.